Now, this app could be key to securing fisher livelihoods, restoring fish stocks. Abalobi is the app's name. It's easily scalable app. It enables traceability previously unseen in small-scale fisheries and connect fishers directly with the buyers, reducing dependency on middlemen, resulting in fairer prices and ethical produce for consumers. Dr. Serge Raymakers is part of the development of this particular app, and he joins us on the line now. Welcome, Dr. Raymakers. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
And we heard some first-hand accounts from people out in Lamberts Bay and the kind of benefits that it's brought to the only thing that they know how to do, and that is to fish. How did the idea come about and why?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. We've been at it for 5 years. We've been running this program for quite some time. We're just quite excited now that we got a bit of exposure in international media. But several years ago, we started working with small-scale fishing communities, small-scale fishermen and fisherwomen, around the notion of data collection through potentially a mobile app, data collection that could not only help the fisher better manage his accounts, expenses, their family accounts, expenses, and their operations, but also over time build a robust, high-resolution picture of what's going on in these various fisheries along our coastline. And we did just that, and we've built a robust network of many fisher communities along our coastline that are excited about using these tools. At the same time, while fishers were collecting this data and using the app, we were also realizing that, you know, their main issue at this stage, yes, it's about fishing rights and engaging with the government and managing the fishery, of course, but it's also about accessing markets and accessing, you know, fair markets. And so we thought, hey, if these fishers are collecting data on their app every day and it's digital, why can't we connect them with a marketplace? Why can't we connect them with you? Why can't we connect them with chefs? And so I think it was in late 2017, sort of early 2018, that we connected a couple of fishers from Lamberts Bay with a chef in Cape Town, and the rest is history. We're now running a pretty big marketplace here in the Western Cape, connecting lots and lots of fishers with lots and lots of chefs, home buyers, retailers, restaurant chains, etc.
Our means up and until this point for managing fish stocks has been the quota kind of system. This could also be a means for us to monitor, you know, that we are not overfishing, essentially.
Yeah, government is obviously running their own scientific processes and data collection processes. And, you know, they are monitoring pretty carefully how things are unfolding in various fisheries along the South African coastline and even offshore. This is an extra. This is an extra, you know, that really starts from the grassroots. It starts from a group of fishers saying, hey, we want to be part of this. We want to be part of this conversation about fishery science, about fisheries management, about quotas, about permit regulations, about size restrictions, about what is overfished, what is not yet overfished. We want to be part of this, and we've got the opportunity to collect good quality data. We out there every day, almost every day, you know, we're observing things all the time. You know, let's record that in some useful package that we can put on the decision-making table.
The suggestion is that the errant players in the fishing market, in the fishing industry, is commercial fishing, but also the black market. Would you agree with that conclusion?
I'm not so sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, not necessarily subsistence fishing. They are not driving
There are many households, many fisherwomen and fishermen along the South African coastline that fish for subsistence. They fish to put food on their own table or the table of that of their, you know, nearby neighbor. There are also many fishers along the South African coastline that fish to earn a basic income. They fish to sell most of their catch at the harbor, to different kinds of buyers, to earn a living, to be able to afford an economic operation of, you know, of putting in fuel, buying bait, going out at sea, and earning an income and building a small business. Of course, there are also many fisheries along the South African coastline that are plagued by a lot of illegal fishing, where for lots of different reasons, including poverty and desperation, people are fishing illegally. They're fishing above their quota. They're fishing for species that, are severely overfished. There's that as well. But how do we move away from that, or how do we create opportunities that are legal, that are considered legitimate? And Abalobi is one of those, not the only solution for sure, but one of the solutions to try and, support fishers in earning a good enough, a viable livelihood, a fair livelihood. From fishing legally, from fishing for species that are part of their permits and under their quota, under their, their fishing conditions, and that they're able to sell at the best possible price to you, to me, and at the same time create jobs for especially fisherwomen in those same communities.
I agree. It is so exciting. It is a game changer. I'm just trying to understand one of your claims, and that is restoring fish stocks. If, especially with very threatened species, the let's call it the black market trade is blamed for that overfishing, the black market is not necessarily going to buy into your app idea. And if that's the problem, how do we restore fish stocks?
Of course. There are many solutions to a very complex problem that links to fisheries and overfishing in South Africa or more globally. But within Abalobi, our opportunity here is to help a fisher who, is potentially fishing illegally, who's fishing, without a permit, just to put food on the table, just to eke some kind of livelihood, is to help this fisher family say, hey, I can move into a legal operation. I can move into earning a fair livelihood from catching whatever I've got on my permit. That's already a big start. The other one, of course, is that Abalobi is not just about working with fishing communities. It's also about working with the market. How do we literally build proper appetite for more abundant, ecologically resilient species? And so what's exciting within the Abalobi program is that over the last couple of years, by working with fisher communities, by working with the market, we've been able to shift fishing effort towards now, most small-scale fishers that are part of our program are fishing. I think it's up to 97% of what they catch is
Solved.
from stocks that are abundant,
Okay.
that are ecologically resilient. So if we've shifted fisher behavior, we've shifted the market towards a focus on more ecologically more sustainable species or stocks.
It's exciting. It's absolutely exciting.
Thanks.
It's a lease on life for our subsistence fishing communities. But let's take a listen to some of the comments in, some voice notes in, and maybe then Dr. Serge Raymakers, you can respond to them. You're welcome also to send your WhatsApp voice notes
Sounds
or
good.
text notes on 0725671567. Your calls on 021-446-0567. Let's take a listen, Joe.
Morning, Cape Talk listeners. I was a commercial tuna fisherman for about 3 years, and it was one day when I was just out tuna fishing that it just hit me. Commercial fishermen make their livelihood from the ocean, so they just take, take, take. But I don't know any commercial fisherman that puts back. I've never ever seen it. The amount of pollution that the commercial do guys throw in the water, plastic, quite a lot. And I just found it quite fascinating that that the commercial fishermen are, that's their livelihood, but they're just not ever willing to put back. Show me a commercial fisherman that walks on the beach and picks up plastic. So I just feel that it's commercial fishermen need to start opening up their eyes and appreciating what they have and just caring a little bit more about where they make their livelihood. Anyway, have a great day. Cheers, bye.
Yeah, they make their livelihood by exporting a lot of the fish and earning hard currency in return. Dr. Rainmaker, so there are some fingers pointing at commercial fishing and at, again, the black market for the perilous state of our fishing stocks in some species. Is there a response that you have for that point?
I mean, that's obviously a very depressing image that's being portrayed. I think it's also a very generalized image. In, our experience working, all along the South African coastline with many fisher communities, there is a strong sense of ownership. There's a strong sense of ownership and stewardship. And definitely, many, many fishers, young, old fishermen, fisherwomen that are, doing their bit to protect, to conserve, to cherish our natural environment from, not throwing things out at sea when you're on a boat to, releasing undersized fish to not fishing for certain species. There's a lot of stewardship, and I invite everyone to, go and reconnect with the fisher communities along the coastline, because you do see these things along the way. The bottom line, though, is that, we all assume that fishers are earning a really good price for their catch, but they're not. They're not earning a good price for their catch. They barely make ends meet, even if they look like they've got a bigger boat with sort of outboard engines, to run something like this and to be able to, be able to go back on the water the next day. You got to earn a good price per kilogram. And unfortunately, still today, again, maybe I'm generalizing a little bit now. But most of the value about of the fish is accrued higher up in the supply chain, not by
Absolutely.
the fishermen or the fisher
And
community.
ultimately, you can only sell what you catch. There are days when you catch nothing. But let's take a listen to another voice note.
Hi there, Andrea from Cape Town. I'd just like to compliment Abalobi for their unbelievably amazing service. We've ordered amazing fresh fish from them probably about 6 or 7 times, specifically absolutely fresh yellowtail, which we intend to have a little bit of sashimi and braai the rest, but because it's so amazingly fresh, we end up actually just eating the whole fish as sushi.
I can smell
so
it.
It's an incredible service, and the traceability and knowing which fisherman provided the fish is really unbelievable. Well done, guys. An excellent app.
Absolutely. I want to get this app, and this is really it. Isn't it? All of us that are enjoying our fish and want our fish a little fresher should be on this app. Or is the supply there? Are we going to have a demand supply issue? And then is the price going to become untenable maybe, Doc?
Go for it. First of all, that message from Andrew made our day. That was amazing. That's why we do this. Being able to connect directly with fishers, access premium quality, super fresh fish, and then, savor the whole fish and celebrate, our local artisans, our local species, our local ecosystems. That's what it's all about. So thanks, Andrew, for sharing that voice note. Yep, go for it. Go on the Play Store or go on the App Store, download the Abalobi Marketplace. You register, we check where you are in the world, or where you are in South Africa, because of course, we need to manage the logistics. You can also go on our web store, fishwithastory.org, and or order away. We've worked hard on managing supply and demand. There's some pretty amazing products as well. Think about fillets of yellowtail, bream, silver, scape redfish. So I invite everyone to give it a try. Order this, see how it arrives at your door as premium quality fresh fish at an affordable price. And let us know what you think, and let the fishers know what you think, because with every order comes that unique QR code that tells you who, what, where, how, and when. And you can also, by scanning that QR code, text the fisher group, the fisher woman, the fishermen that caught that fish, and celebrate their efforts into building up their communities and achieving sustainable fisheries.
It's a disruptor. Our whole consuming process may just change fundamentally. And again, market forces, demand and supply. The price inevitably will go up with demand, won't it? Is that what you're expecting? And that ultimately, I guess, is good for subsistence fishing communities.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a question or a comment.
Thinking aloud.
At this stage, our mission is to build, a South African level marketplace that connects all these fisher communities with this opportunity and connects you with the fisher communities directly. We want to make sure that fishers earn a fair return so that they can invest in their communities, they can invest in jobs, they can invest in their stewardship of our oceans. This is a non-profit environment, so we are making sure that we can cover cover our costs, that we are self-sustainable. But the idea is definitely not to, you know, to build this out into an extremely, well, you know what I mean.
Well, I think it has legs, or maybe fins in this particular instance.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's really exciting, and we appreciate your time, Dr. Serge Raymakers, connecting us and making the sea come a little closer to our kitchen and maybe to our tables as well. I think it's very exciting, and I think the beneficiaries are going to be the people that have that historical relationship with the sea. What we've seen in the past 30 years, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, is that people with no relationship to the sea have benefited from the issuing of all sorts of stuff. This is great. This is absolutely great. And I still think it could be a disruptor. Where we had purchased our seafood in the past may not be the ideal and kind of perfect space in the future.